RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
This is MP on the mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
Friday morning, it's 10:15. Thanks for coming along on this ride with us. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Gary Hess in with us, sports director, 910 The Fan, for his Friday visit. Just saw the AWOD cartwheel video for the first time.
That is something else. You just never know what's going to happen in the hallowed halls of the 910 studio.
I bet it's not the stupidest thing we've ever done in here.
It's by far not the stupidest
It might not
thing.
Be top five.
No, it's... There has been some stuff in this room, that's for sure. But anyway, yeah, that's pretty fun.
Yeah. Did any of your kids ever do any gymnastics or any of that? Yeah, you're never in... I had one in gymnastics for about a year. Uh-huh. It was by Southside Speedway out there,
right? At
deep Chesterfield. The gymnastics was lovely. The teachers were not. The teachers were all like the 15-year-old girls that were in gymnastics, like, you know, making a few bucks on the side or whatever. I just hated the drive down to Chesterfield.
Right. Yeah. My friends who have had kids in gymnastics at a pretty decent level,
yeah,
have said, you know, it's great except for they're separated from their retirement, you know, money. That's not cheap.
That's not gymnastics exclusive. Right.
And yeah, I had a really good friend of mine who is a neighbor in my cul-de-sac. Their daughter was a high-level swimmer.
Yeah.
Swam scholarship UVA, which, you know, UVA swimming is top shelf.
Three-time back-to-back national champs? Was it a three-peat?
So
yeah.
She was gone from there. But, I mean, she swam in the Olympic trials. I mean, she was really top shelf.
Yeah.
And it became a running joke because she would go to the practices at Nova. Like, you know, occasionally they'd be following me out of the neighborhood when I was on my way to work in the morning. But same thing.
Yeah.
It was just like, good gracious, this is outrageous.
Sure.
My oldest was a softball player.
There you go.
I coached her in travel ball.
Great sport.
And so I have so many fond memories of travel softball. We had so much fun. And Linda and I occasionally will go watch a couple games of the tournament to get a fix when we have a friend's kids playing or something. My middle child was more of the brainiac, robotics, chess, that kind of
stuff. That's cool, too.
And my youngest was the music kid.
There we go. He had all the bases covered.
And now he's got, you know,
Renaissance dad.
He's got hair. All the experiences. You know, now he's in a junior in college and has hair below his shoulder blades.
You know, we do the Vegas joke. You look at all those nice buildings. You know, they weren't built by giving money away.
Right.
You go out to Virginia Center Commons to Dennis Bickmeyer's new sports palace. You know,
right.
It wasn't made by giving away free tournament entries.
Exactly.
That's a profitable business.
That's right.
Go down to Chesterfield, see all those very, very nicely manicured fields.
Out of
the sportsplex. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you know, everybody talks about sports tourism. That's good business right there.
Yeah, especially
when you look at the rise. You know, for years it was like baseball and softball and soccer. And now you have travel lacrosse, and you have, you know, it's just there's so many more opportunities. And it's, you know, it's there's a place up in northern Henrico called Glover Park off of Greenwood Road. And we'll occasionally go by there, and they're travel lacrosse tournaments going on there and stuff, and
they start them early too.
Yes, they do.
Yeah,
too early, but that's another story for another time.
I'll botch the number, but like the tourism, Richmond Region Tourism, they did a presentation. It was something like 72% of all tourism in Richmond is now sports tourism.
Right.
Like that's the pie. It's not even a slice of the pie. That is the pie now.
Right. And at least
we're well located.
Right. At least it's a good pie.
Good pie to be in.
It's a good pie to be in. So there you go.
It's not going anywhere.
Right.
I feel quite confident.
Me too.
And as long as there are kids playing sports and parents who are striving for scholarships, there will be.
Parents who are trying to fill the void from their childhood, there will always be. Yes. So
I was baseball, played baseball up until early high school. We had a good high school team, which meant I was not invited to participate on the varsity team. So that was where we
I remember my middle child. He played Little League baseball. He was a solid Little League kid. You know, never made All Stars, but he was always like one of the fourth best player on his team.
Yeah.
And he took one look at that field with the 90-foot bases. He goes, yeah. I'm done.
Well, all I remember is the first year of kid pitch. When you go from coach pitch to kid pitch,
right?
That's a long year.
Yeah.
That's the ops is higher than the batting average that year for most kids. Just not enough arms to accommodate all the teams at the Wichita YMCA.
When I did coach pitch, I always said if you gave me three pitches, I could hit a kid's bat.
You're trying to hit the bat. You'd stick it out. Gary's gotcha.
I would tell kids all the time that, you know, you 100% of the time you don't get a hit if you don't swing the bat.
There you go.
100% of the time.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
100%.
The swings you don't take.
Exactly.
I would have enjoyed a little coach pitch, although I don't know if my arm would have enjoyed the coach pitch. The Science Museum has the, like, how hard can you throw the baseball exhibit. And every time we go there, I always blow out my arm.
I used to always laugh. You know, so I'm left-handed, and I'm a child of the 70s. And I became a Phillies fan because of Steve Carlton, who is one of the greatest left-handed pitchers of all time.
And also you're in the Richmond media. Greg, Wes, the Philly thing here, it's out of control. It's out of control.
They're from up there. My only excuse is I was a Steve Carlton fan before I knew he was like off the reservation as a human being. But anyway, you know, I took his pitching motion and emulated it. And
yes.
I always tell people, I had his pitching motion to perfection. I could go out in the backyard or go to the Little League field, and when I pitched, it looked exactly like Steve Carlton up until the point the ball left my hand. And then there was no resemblance whatsoever.
Nothing whatsoever. Gary Hess, sports director, 910 The Fan. We always enjoy having him around on Fridays. We'll be taking the show to the Diamond on Tuesday for opening day. We'll be on, AWOT will be on, and then, of course, Trey and Blaine will take it over. Sold out opening night Diamond.
It's exciting, and we love going to the Diamond and just hanging out and, you know, don't tell anybody I'm a media person, because I'll just pay my shekels and go sit in the stands and have a good time.
Absolutely. It's reasonably priced, unlike a certain professional team I can think of in Washington, D.C., which is charging like $12 for a hot dog this year. Yeah, it's gotten a little out of control.
Yeah. To watch a team that, I mean, listen, the Nationals have a...
They're making the Pirates look like World Series contenders.
Right. There's a lot of potential in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
That potential is not playing at the major league level except for C.J. Abrams, is not playing at the major league level in 2024.
No, Josiah Gray 0-2 to start the season. That's not.
It's not just 0-2. It's a gruesome 0-2.
It doesn't look. Yeah, the further you zoom in, the less pretty it looks.
Oh my gosh, so bad.
Are you following the Norfolk Tides at all? Baltimore Orioles, AAA team. They've played 7 games.
Uh-huh.
They're 6-1. So last night they scored 9 and beat Charlotte.
Oh my gosh. The night before
they scored 26 and beat Charlotte.
They scored 26.
Tuesday, only 10. They only put up 10 runs in a win over Charlotte. Last week, 3 game set against Durham, scored 12, 12, and 5.
Don't be afraid to get somebody out every now and then. Is Jackson Holliday playing in Norfolk, or is he in Double A?
Ooh, that's a great question. I'll look, but that's great news for the Orioles, who are already.
It's pretty crowded. That's part and parcel of the fact that it's pretty crowded in the big league roster in Baltimore.
Yes,
they have very much looked the part so far in Baltimore.
Jackson Holliday already has 2 leadoff home runs for the Norfolk Tides.
There you go.
Yeah.
The people in Norfolk better enjoy watching him because he's not going to be there long.
He will not be there long. The Orioles, a great team, off to a great start. And then your Triple A scoring, putting 26 on opponents. That's a good farm system.
I tell you, talked about Josiah Gray, your opening day starter for the Nats, being how bad, how awful he's been. The Orioles going out and getting Corbin Burns to be the ace of their staff was a great move.
It was a great move.
Great move.
Absolutely. I was up in D.C. yesterday. We didn't do the show yesterday. We played best of. Hopefully nobody noticed the difference. It's all best of, Gary. It's all best of. I put on Instagram, you know, we were up there. We went to Planet Word, the museum about the human language, which I'll give an endorsement to in a second because it was good.
Okay.
But Melanie Martinez, who used to work at the newspaper, now works up there for MLB.com. She said, "Oh, are you up here for the game?" I said, "I'm embarrassed to admit. I didn't know there was a game today, and I don't know what you're talking about." And
That's right. We're
definitely not up here for the game.
That's not
why we're here. New museum. It's downtown DC.
Okay.
It's about the written language, and they have. It's cool. It's very technology driven, but like the origins of words and interactive.
That's cool.
They did karaoke and explained how songs are written in poetry and things like that. We had a good time.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was a ton of fun.
And let me tell you something. It would be fascinating for somebody to explain to me how the English language came to be, because it's a screwed up language in a lot of ways.
They credited the number one evolver of the English language, teenage girls. And not just in the texting age. They said, like, in the 1800s, when they would write letters to each other, that's how, like, doth become does, and like those words, you can thank teenage girls for that.
Teenage girls took us out of the age of the King James Version Bible.
That's what happened. Yes. Good work.
You're welcome. That's
right. Hey, Hazel taking the victory lap.
That's right.
Had to turn the mic on for that one.
Hey, you take the wins wherever you can find them.
Absolutely. Continues to evolve the language to this day.
Yes, indeed.
I can't understand it anymore when people text me. So.
Wow. Have you ever seen the Gallagher bit about the English language?
No.
About how, you know, you have three four-letter words that end in OMB, but they're pronounced bomb, tomb, and comb. He's like, that makes no sense whatsoever.
They say English is one of the hardest languages to learn if you're a foreign speaker.
Yeah.
And as somebody who took a little bit of Spanish, yeah, like, all the letters just say what the letters say in Spanish. Like, oh, this is kind of nice.
This is the way language is supposed to work.
Oh, okay. And yet we run the world because
if you live in another part of the world, you tried to learn English on Babbel, you may want to schedule a few extra sessions or something.
Put in the extra time.
Exactly.
All right. We got to cut Gary loose for the week. Enjoy your weekend, Gary.
I will.
You won't be back next week, but we'll look forward to having you in 2 weeks, which means we'll be 1 week away from the NFL draft.
Wow.
We'll be talking about that, I would imagine, between now and then.
Well, when we convene in 2 weeks, will Washington still hold the second pick?
I don't think they're moving out of it. Like, you can take a quarterback. I think you've got to do it. We'll talk about that later in today's show. Great tease as we head to break. An NFL Network analyst said he would trade the pick. I will tell you why he is wrong. That's up later. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. 10:32, Friday morning. It's the Friday Fun Show. Gary Hess joins us every Friday, except next Friday. But he'll be here the next Friday after that. He's allowed to have a life. These are the rules. The official Odyssey rules, you're allowed to have vacation, but only if you ask nicely. All right, our final pair of tickets spoken for the Odyssey Oceanfront concert. AWOD Radio still has a few. Listen up next week if you want to win tickets to the Odyssey Oceanfront concert in Virginia Beach. Our guy Stubb produces AWOD Radio.
That's true.
Dropped in to say, hey, I said, let's do a segment. It's the Friday Fun Show. We were talking. I was in D.C. yesterday. We went to Planet Word, the language museum.
I'm unaware of this one.
It's new, and it's cool. It's in an old school building downtown. It was small. I bet we did the whole thing in hour and a half, and we didn't miss anything. It was
okay.
It was zippy.
I don't like a museum that I can't get to everything in 3 hours.
But this is your spot here.
That's good.
You don't want a comprehensive museum.
Yeah,
you want a lean, mean. Hour and a half.
I don't like reading all the plaques. I want to like touch stuff and look at stuff and then kind of move on.
Stubb and I are the exact same person. Wow, it's a lot of words there about.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't know. Yeah. Oh, I can press a button on this one.
And we went to the Air and Space Museum afterward.
Lot to look at there.
So they are mid-renovation, so you can only look at half of it right now. Only half of the Air and Space Museum is open.
Was it half price?
Well, it's free, so yeah,
okay,
yes.
So yeah, it would be half price.
it was half price, yes. It was not half crowds, but it was full crowds, half the building.
That one's got one of the things where you can make like a sort of, like you can, there's like a thing you can get in and pilot like a craft and do flips.
They had, I feel like I remember all the things, like the flight simulator and all the things. They had the Star Wars, like a full-on like, authentic prop from like one of the Star Cruisers
Museum.
Or something. The Star Wars people would be mad at me because I don't think that's what it's called. But it from the prequels.
Was it like a set piece, like an actual set piece?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
It was super cool.
I would be happy to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was super cool. Wright Brothers plane, Evel Knievel's motorcycle, all the good
that's
stuff.
That's a minimal reading kind of museum.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Hey, that's cool. That looks cool. Yeah. Yeah.
The Science Museum here is good at that too. There's a lot of activities.
Shout out to the Science Museum here. Yes.
Yes.
You do the little running race.
Oh, I love doing the run.
Oh yeah.
Throw a baseball.
Throw a baseball as fast as you can. Throw out your arm.
Play air hockey against a robot that you can't beat.
That blows my mind.
I love playing that thing.
It's undefeated.
It's undefeated.
It's undefeated. The air hockey robot has never lost at the Science Museum. The rats that play basketball.
I don't remember the rats.
It's a show. Like in the auditorium.
Okay.
They do
once
a day. They have rats that they've trained to play basketball. And they bring them out and they play
think
basketball.
Think they could beat the Wizards?
Well, I think it'd be close. I think they have more public funding for a new arena in Virginia than the Wizards do.
I'd buy that.
Yeah, no, the Science Museum's the gold standard of that.
Yes.
But they had Air and Space is also nice. They had a lot of movies, but they weren't too long. I also don't want a 15-minute movie.
No, absolutely not.
That's too long. If I'm at a museum, I'm fine with a little video telling me something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need the whole like Lincoln performance.
Right, because then I'm just as bored as if I was reading it.
when we were up at the ACC tournament, Mike Barber, we had lunch, and he was like, I want to go see a museum or something. What should we do? We were right next to Ford's Theater.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, the closest thing to here is Ford's Theater. And he's like, well, let's go see it. And I'm like, I just feel a little weird going to Ford's Theater. Like, why are we here? Oh, dude got shot here. Okay.
Do they play movies? Do they do theater?
It has been preserved as a theater.
Okay.
They absolutely still stage original productions there. They also do the play Lincoln was at, My American Cousin. They still perform it once a year.
Original cast?
Stubbs not going if they're not the
OGs. We're in Stubbs' wheelhouse right now is what's going on here. It would just be weird to be at that, right? Like,
can you sit in the seat?
Yeah.
Can you watch?
No, you can't. No.
They let you go into the little box.
No, but can you watch?
No, not during the play. You can't watch the play. You can't watch the play from the box.
I'd pay for that.
They'd charge you a lot for that.
Oh, you'll pay. You'll pay dearly. They have all the things though. They have the gun, the bullet, all the things.
They have the little like life-size statues of all the people involved, which was really creepy.
They also,
if you MP were in a similar fashion to Abraham Lincoln, in this studio, would you want? No, I'm not. This isn't a threat.
If I got Lincoln,
would you want?
Do you feel safe?
Would you want everything preserved like that? Or like, would you feel like it was an insult that we're like preserving what was used to end your life?
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you enjoy the sports talk program? I would absolutely want it preserved so that while Kat Simons was trying to do her show every afternoon, there would be just ticketed tours walking down the hallway like, this is where MP got his tea before his show every day. This is the studio. This is the chair that he didn't sit in because he usually stood while doing the show. This was the microphone.
Would you let AWOD keep going in here?
Absolutely.
Or, yeah.
I mean, we almost had a situation when he cartwheeled the other day.
That's true.
We almost had a medical situation.
Yeah, I don't know what we would have framed off of that.
We'd have authentic jackhammering outside so that the people could experience what it was like to work at 910 The Fan. The birthplace museums are also a little weird. Like, this is the house he was born in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, okay, I've been to a house before. What are we doing? Like,
I know. It's
George Washington's house.
It's a house.
Chair. I've sat in a chair.
I know houses. Yeah, this is one of those. Presidents, they're just like us.
This is where he slept. It's like, yeah, it's a bed. Like,
he was pretty normal until he became president, and then he wasn't normal at all. And then he was at the White House.
Well, he had, like, mercury in his teeth. Kind of makes it hard to be normal.
It's hard to be normal when you have mercury in your teeth. They also have, you're a journalism student, Hazel, you'll appreciate this. They have the Washington Star newspaper from the next morning after Lincoln was shot.
Ooh.
And it's the greatest buried lead of all time. The big headline, you know, like, President Lincoln shot. And then the article starts, on Tuesday night, President Lincoln and his wife, Mrs. Lincoln, went down to Ford's Theater to attend a play. The screening
boring.
The play was My American Cousin. The stars of the show were so-and-so.
Oh.
The play started at about 6:50 p.m.
They were sponsored.
At 7:45 p.m. At 7:45 p.m., somebody came into the booth and shot the president. Like, it seems like we could have gotten to this a lot quicker.
I've clicked off the article before that comes.
Oh, no. That's below. If it's below the ad, if I don't see it on the screen, we're moving.
I guess people used to be more bored.
Oh.
You know?
Look at the stuff people used to do. So, they used to be so bored.
Oh. Hit a wheel with a stick down the road.
Jacks.
So true.
Whatever Jacks is.
I've never known how to play that game. I can picture the pieces.
What is Jacks? What are Jacks? Nobody knows.
It's like the spiky, and then there's a ball.
I was in the Pogs era, though, so I don't know that I have a lot of ground to stand on here, because looking back, Pogs was an objectively boring game. Do you either of you?
No. Fortnite.
Not a boring game. They were little discs, and you like hit them, and they spun. And if they landed on one side, you won them. And if they landed on the other side,
that's electric. That's fantastic.
You're thinking of electric football, which was it was like a hibachi grill, and you turned it on, and it shook, and the little football pieces would move around.
Cards. That's the most boring game of all time.
Hazel thinks this is an episode of Punk'd right now. Electric football is a real thing that existed in the 80s. That you plugged this like hibachi grill thing into a wall. You set up the two teams, and then you turned it on, and it shook. And the guys like shook, and then wherever they ended up, that's how far you went.
Okay, I'm not seeing the idea. It's not coming to me.
All right, we'll do
you
some.
You don't see the vision?
I don't see the vision. Unplug it, and you're like, look at that.
We'll do some YouTube research during the break. We'll get to the bottom of some stuff. Also, when we get back from the break, we'll talk sports. It's the Friday Fun Show. It's 10:41. Appreciate Stubb dropping by for a minute. AWOD Radio live from River City. Roll today, noon to 3. So don't miss that as we wrap up an exciting week. Grant and Danny drive you home. You know where you are. It's 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. 11 o'clock on a fun Friday. I don't know. I wasn't there, but apparently there was an earthquake in New Jersey a few minutes ago. People are waiting at 5.5. That's a real number. Remember when we had the one here? You probably weren't here.
I don't think I was.
Ooh, I got to look up when this. This was more than 10 years ago now. 2011, we had an earthquake here, and basically the whole rest of the country made fun of us. 5.8. 5.8. The Virginia Earthquake is 5.5. Bigger than Jersey.
Woo!
Take that, New Jersey.
Is it a competition?
It is now.
Okay.
Because we're winning, it's a competition. Those are the official rules of competing. If you're winning, it's a competition. And if you're not winning, it's not a competition. Everybody knows that. 2011, earthquake in Virginia, Louisa County, epicenter. And we felt it for, you know, like things shook. And basically there were all sorts of like memes and all that making the rounds, like a lawn chair that had fallen over. It's like, we will rebuild. We will. I don't think any actual damage was done other than all of us being like, whoa, that's what an earthquake feels like. And we don't have earthquakes here. So
yeah,
it's a novelty. What felt the special. Problem is, they felt it in New York City. Mm-hmm. The official rule of things is if they feel it in New York City, you have to hear about it for weeks. Right?
Yeah.
Like, think about like, oh, it snowed in New York City. The nation's under a blizzard. Like, there's a hurricane in New York City. You got to hear about them rebuilding that place for years. Like, Florida gets hurricanes all the time. You don't hear about them. Like, we move on.
They figured out how to rebuild.
They move. Well, if it happens in New York City, we all have to hear about it all day.
I hadn't heard that rule before, but it definitely makes sense.
Absolutely. Anything that happens in New York City, it just that shut down the world for the next few weeks.
100%.
That's all. Remember the smoggy air in New York City? You think any other?
How could I forget?
You think any other cities ever had smoggy air?
No. Of course not.
But you got to hear about it when it's in New York. We're canceling soccer practices here because we're all scared of the air because we're watching footage from New York City because that's the only place they have television cameras, apparently.
Yeah.
Just
makes
saying.
Sense.
Just. I mean.
And so you're just mad that nobody pitied at Richmond in 2011.
I was more intrigued than anything else. Yeah. Like. I didn't know what it was until it was over. I was like, is the building collapsing? Are they drilling outside? Is it a big truck driving by? And then it kept going, and then it was over. Somebody's like, I think we just had an earthquake. I was like, earthquake. That's what that is. Really? Huh. Good for us.
I had a coworker from Mexico City the year after they had those big earthquakes.
They had a big one.
But I didn't know how to say it in Spanish. So I just said,
how we're playing charades.
Cuando la earth tremble.
Playing some earthquake charades here. Yeah,
she got it. She got it.
There you go. Perfect. Problem solved.
Language barriers.
Walt Hazel's on the mic. We've got a K-cup situation over here where I've never used K-cups before working at Odyssey Richmond. That's my confession. I just don't. I've figured it out, though. I've figured out the technology.
Proud of you.
You put in the pod, you do your thing. Are you obligated to take out the pod afterward? What's the etiquette on that? Because here's the thing. Sometimes I open it up and it's empty. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, you do it. But sometimes there's one in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't bother me to take it out and throw it away before I put mine in.
But it's a question.
I don't know that I want to do both sides of the transaction every time, though. I'd like some standardization here.
That's true. Usually when I go to open it, it's a Stubbs French Vanilla. Specifically.
So the order of operations would be take the other person's out, put yours in, walk away.
Leave it, yeah.
Leave it.
Well, if you take it out, it's hot. I don't know if you're taking it.
It's a little toasty.
I don't know if I want to touch that.
A little wasteful if we're calling this all the way.
What? My fingers are important.
Feels like there's a better way. Your fingers are your life.
Yeah. I can't be burning them on K-cups. Who do they think I am, Michael Phillips?
I love it. All right. So we're glad we got to the bottom of that, which I don't... I until we get everybody else in the building on our level, these things are going to continue to happen. It's 11:05. It's the Friday Fun Show. It's April 5th. You can listen to us at 9:10 a.m., 105.1 FM, worldwide on the free Odyssey app, on all major podcast platforms. Just search MP on the mic, and you can hear this show. College basketball is big this weekend. I want to dive into this article that Zach Joachim wrote for the Richmond Times-Dispatch about the A-10 in a second because it's getting a lot of attention out there. But first, I want to say I'm very intrigued by this, and this was called to my attention. I had missed this. The General Assembly meets once a year, you know, in January and February, makes all the laws, and then they leave, go on their merry way, give us our city back again. We appreciate them not taking up the whole year of ruining downtown traffic for everybody. But the big focus in sports, it feels like, was the Alexandria Arena, which, of course, did not pass, as everybody knows. But this did pass. There's a new law that's been sent to the governor's desk. So the governor has not signed this yet. But this is a new proposed law allowing schools to directly pay NIL compensation to student-athletes. And I use the term student-athlete there in what I believe to be the loosest possible term of the word. Because if you go to VCU and they pay you to be an athlete, at what point have we crossed the line? It feels like we're close. Look, we've been close for 50 years. There have been kids who play sports who don't go to class for a long time. I'm not spilling state secrets here. A lot of athletes that don't go to class. I'm not enlightening the world here on something they've never heard before. I like that. But if they're getting paid, at what point do we call this what it is? And at what point do we cross that line into what it is? I don't know. It sure feels like we're closer, though. I also think this is a really, really smart bill for Virginia to pass. I think you want to be first on these things and not 47th in the order of the states, right? You want to be the first mover because all of these things where it's like these are untouchable things have all happened. Open transferring, NIL, basically unlimited payment. They've all happened. And if you know that, if the track record is this is going to happen, be first, don't be last. I would encourage the governor to sign it. I know it's a scary precedent, but it sure feels like we're going to be going down this road in a minute. I mean, all the things, right? And a lot of times people bring up like the worst case scenarios to like doomsday kinds of things. So, well, you can't do that because then what would happen if? And then they rattle off like some absurd thing that will happen to like one kid ever. But I think there are very fair questions. If you're being paid by a school to play sports, are you an employee there, right? Do you need health insurance? What happens if you get hurt? Can you be cut? Can you be fired, right? Virginia's a right-to-work state. You can be fired at any time. Like, they can come give me the hook. The radio show's over. You'll be hearing CBS Sports Minutes for the rest of the day. That can happen in Virginia. Those are the rules. If you're being paid by a school to play basketball, what kind of contractual protections do you get? Could you be traded? Could you be cut? A lot of questions that I think would have to be answered in a hurry here. And then what are your school obligations on top of that, right? If you're getting paid to play basketball for VCU and you don't meet the academic eligibility standards for your second semester, do you still get to play basketball? Do you still get your money? A lot of questions to be worked out. The problem is, and I think this is probably as much societal as anything, we are doing solutions then working backwards through the problems, right? You look at like Uber, right? Uber is like, we're going to show up. And the taxis are like, well, that's illegal. And I'm like, yeah, we don't care. Figure it out. Make some laws. That's kind of what we're doing here, right? You got to blaze the trail forward so that everybody else can catch up with you and work along backwards. I also think this is really good news for the schools who right now have to fundraise twice. They have to fundraise into the NIL pot and they have to fundraise into the general athletics pot. And you hear the term donor fatigue. There's been a lot of donor fatigue out there, right? Hey, I don't mind donating to VCU. Why am I donating twice? Why are they hitting me up for more and more money? You know, the facilities budget's not going down. The coaches' contracts aren't going down. And at the same time, everything else is going up. Player expenditures are going up. Travel costs are going up because you're playing in the A-10 instead of the CAA. The budget gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and that money's got to come from somewhere. And contrary to popular belief, TV is not making up the difference in that money. All right, I did want to get to Zach Joachim's article here. We'll do this briefly. Atlantic 10 basketball was resurgent this season. Is the conference entering a renaissance? So certainly you'd say the high point for A-10 basketball was probably mid-2010s, right before they lost a lot of teams and had to reshuffle and realign. And he's talking to Bernadette McGlade, who her job is to be commissioner of the A-10. Her job is to cheerlead what the A-10 is doing. That's not my job. My job is to tell you what's going on. And I can tell you what she says is going on is not even a little bit in line with what's actually going on. So she's talking about how the non-conference was really strong for the A-10, and they set a good foundation there. Okay, the A-10 won 4 Quad 1 non-conference games. Dayton won 3 of them. So of the 14 teams in the Atlantic 10 not named Dayton, they shared 1 Quad 1 non-conference win. That's That's why they ended up with two bids because Dayton didn't win in Brooklyn. Duquesne won in Brooklyn. They got it. But she's advocating that there should have been more teams. Let's do the NCAA first. Here's from the article. She added, the evaluation of a team's final 10 games or so should play a larger role, and pointed to Duquesne and VCU's as examples of instances in which a strong finish and the classic eye test should hold more weight in the committee's eyes. All right, this is an easy one to take on because I tested VCU all season long. I tested them every time they played. VCU's last 10 games did not make any amount of a compelling case of a team that should have been in the NCAA tournament. I'd like to remind you of their final three games of the regular season, they won none of them. That's enough of an eye test for me. I would also add that they had a brutal loss at UMass, and I don't know if the Bonnies loss counts in there or not, but that was a brutal loss as well. No, the eye test did not say that VCU was deserving of an NCAA tournament spot. She said she's ready to see the NCAA bracket expand by 8 to 12 teams from 68 to whatever number they're talking about, 80 or whatever. That would have gotten this year zero additional A-10 teams in, right? Who was at the top of the conference this year? It wasn't VCU. They finished fifth in the conference. It was Richmond, and it was Loyola Chicago. I'm probably going plowing through this break. We'll make up for it later in the show. It's Loyola Chicago was not a deserving tourney bid team and would not have been in a 96-team tournament. Now, in a 96-team tournament that guarantees regular season champions advance, Richmond would have been in. UR would have been in, and I think you could have made a case for that. The problem was they were not in the committee's top 96 in an at-large world, which is the world we're living in and certainly the world we're going to be. You can advocate for expanding the tournament all you want. You have to produce quality team. Now, she is correct. The A-10's hands are tied in one very important way here, and that is the net right now, the rating that the committee uses, does not reward playing A-10 teams. If you're a major conference team, you don't want to schedule an A-10 team. They've got to fix that immediately. It's a little bit out of our hands. That's something that's got to get fixed immediately, though, in order for the A-10 to have a fair shake. And I think everybody agrees that's something they want to do. But on the whole, this notion that the A-10 had a great season because they play six teams in postseason play. Four of them were in the NIT. And those teams were in the NIT in large part because a lot of teams declined bids to the NIT, right? Even the Bonnies declined their bid to the NIT. We went over that. That got VCU in. VCU didn't get in on their merits of making the NIT. They weren't one of the 32 best teams left out of the tournament. They got in because a lot of teams said no thanks. And they won when they were there, and kudos to them for winning. But two NIT wins is not any sort of commentary on the quality of a conference or the quality of a play. I love the A-10. I'd love to see the A-10 get multiple bids every year. I think the A-10 regular season was as fun as it gets. But this notion that somehow this was a successful season for the A-10 because they had a lot of NIT teams, you're going to have to miss me with that one, right? The ACC's got a case. They could stand up and say, hey, we had success in the tournament that matters. Maybe we were underrated. I said, okay, that's a good point. It's a small sample size event, but that's a good point. But the A-10, I just don't see how they can stand on that leg there. All right, we do have to get to a break. We will be back with more after this. You're listening to Sports Radio 910, now 105.1 FM. Ooh, it's NFL draft season. It's heating up. Not just the Final Four this weekend. Lots going on in the world of football as well. We got another half hour with you. AWOD Radio takes over from River City Roll at noon. He'll be noon to 3 on Fridays. He rolls. This is MP on the mic. I'm MP, Michael Phillips. Thanks for taking this ride along with us. Washington Commanders started their off-season workouts this week. Amid all the speculation, what are they going to do with pick number 2? Here's wide receiver Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, we haven't honestly even started install yet, so I haven't even got a lay of the land quite yet. I'll probably take a look at just got our iPads within the last few days. So I'll try to take a sneak peek at what we have looking for. But, you know, I know with him talking to Zach Ertz, he does a great job of trying to get his playmakers involved, which I think we have a really good group of guys from the running backs, the receivers, and some solid tight ends as well. So I'm just looking forward to see where I fit into that. And, you know, I think with him, his biggest things is making sure the playmakers are making plays and trying to fit the scheme around that, which is always good to hear.
That's Terry McLaurin, Washington Commanders. The he's referring to there, Cliff Kingsbury, the new offensive coordinator, is guiding them through early workouts this week. Sam Cosmi's on that offensive line, and he noted, I mean, this is a whole new team, basically. It's they've turned the whole place over.
You know, it's kind of like some people would say, it's like you kind of went to a new team. That's the feel right now. Knew everything. I mean, we just had our new owner last year and new head coach. Half the locker room is basically new. It's like you, like I said, it's like you went to a new team. So, you know, it's definitely a breath of fresh air, if I would say. Just to be able to be around guys and new faces and doing all that and building those relationships. Like I said, I'm really excited, very optimistic about this year, and I'm looking forward to it.
And Sam Cosmi, he might be the only starter left from last year on the offensive line when the opening day roster is announced, as we get closer to the schedule release and all those things that come with it. It's Sam Cosmi, and look, there's some guys who will hang around, but will any of them be starters who were starters last year? I don't know that that's a sure thing at this juncture. It's like being on a whole new team. Well, that's going to be a relief to a lot of people who watched the old team last year. A few holdovers, right? Sam Cosmi, Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson will be back. But a lot of new faces as well, and we haven't even seen all the new faces yet. They're getting ready. They're laying the groundwork so that they can hit the ground running when a quarterback comes in. And, folks, that's what we'll be talking about. We're 3 weeks away from the NFL draft.
The countdown to NFL draft day is on.
Washington Commanders select.
Time to restock, reload, and give it another go. NFL Draft.
Oh, good things are happening here. All right, we got the Sounders. It's we're a little bit closer now, right? Start to have the baked-in segments. I would guess we mention the draft every day for the next 3 weeks of shows. Wouldn't surprise me at all. Next week of shows, the next week of shows, and then we'll be building to that Thursday night in Detroit when the Commanders find out who goes number two overall. And I would say the speculation has settled on Jaden Daniels of LSU. That's where most people are putting their chips here as we get a little bit closer. I would caution you, of course, the chips were on Ben Johnson as well, this time in the head coaching search. I would also caution you about the people who caution you that the chips were on Ben Johnson this time in the coaching search. Look, nobody else wants to say this, so I will keep saying this. Ben Johnson was the favorite at one point to be the coach of the Commanders. I hate the revisionist narrative here of, oh my God, like everybody rushed to a conclusion on Ben Johnson. Everybody, all you media got ahead of yourselves, told us Ben Johnson was going to be the coach, and you didn't know anything. I don't have the time of day for that. He was the favorite, and then he spurned them mid-flight with Raheem Morris off the board, with Mike McDonald off the board, and they ended up with Dan Quinn. There's two scenarios here. One is we were out of line in suggesting that Ben Johnson was a top candidate to be the Commanders coach, right? And so if you want to go down that road, if you want to, and look, everybody, I don't have access to Preserve anymore, so I can say this, right? Everybody, you don't want to burn the bridges with a new coach by suggesting he wasn't the first choice, because that's a bad way to get the relationship started. I feel like I've earned my credibility enough that I can say this. He wasn't the first choice, and that's okay. It doesn't mean I like Dan Quinn any less. I liked Dan Quinn as one of the candidates out of the gate. I was hoping they'd pick an offensive-minded coach. It became very clear at a certain point that they wouldn't. I was hoping they'd get Mike McDonald. They didn't. They've got Dan Quinn. I think he's going to be great. I'm going to enjoy dealing with him. I don't like Cliff Kingsbury. It doesn't mean I'm not going to give Cliff Kingsbury an open mind, the things he does. And by the way, I think he might have a red hot start to the season, because historically speaking, that's what he does. He's really good at the offseason, and then he fades in season. I think they could be awesome. So I don't want anybody telling me midway through the season, oh, bet you feel like a dope saying Cliff Kingsbury wasn't going to be good. Because I'm laying it out right now. We'll rack that for later so that that's available later. But if it's true that Ben Johnson was never high on the list. Why did they wait for him? Why did they let Raheem Morris walk? Why did they let Mike McDonald walk? Why were they on a plane to Detroit when he called and said, I'm not interested in this, and they found out on Twitter, right? There are a lot of inconsistencies in that story. But it's okay. It's okay because they've got Dan Quinn now, and you're moving forward with that. You don't always get the guy you want. It's a competitive business. There's 32 of these teams all trying to do what's best for them. What's best for these guys is to take a quarterback at number two. I've said that from the beginning. I maintain that here. And I just think when you're picking number two, you need to turn in the card and you need to take a chance on a guy. Somebody who disagrees with me is Adam Rank of the NFL Network. Here's what he had to say yesterday.
I do agree that he's the number two quarterback on the board. The only thing that I would say is if I'm the Washington Commanders, I trade the pick. There needs to be a new philosophy when you're trying to build a team. You're the number two overall selection for a reason. And I was talking with one of my friends and a fellow analyst, Jake Maltese, and we were just like, you know what? It's better off to build a team and build the squad and approach it that way. Now, there's a team with the Minnesota Vikings who are desperate to get up and draft a quarterback. They have two first-round picks this year. If you can get two first-round picks from the Vikings, perhaps a first-round pick next season, set your franchise up for the future and then address the quarterback position, because next season you'll have the ability to draft a quarterback, and there are also veterans who can become available. Dak Prescott is a player who could be available next year. You look at some of the teams who've had success going out there and getting veteran quarterbacks. The Lions have been doing it with Jared Goff. The Rams won a Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford. The Buccaneers have won a Super Bowl with Tom Brady. You do not have to draft a quarterback if you're sitting there in the top three. So I would trade out of it if I'm Washington.
Yeah. We'll take this on point by point, but first, our guy George, regular listener, of course, George Templeton, the Rams Rewind. That's an excellent sounder Hazel put together for the NFL draft. Look at that. Hey,
thanks,
hey.
George.
It's also another reminder of how lame the name Commanders is and how much a name change will be welcomed. And you know I say that regularly, too, so I'll just say two good observations by George put 2 points on the board for George. An excellent sounder, and also the Commanders' name stinks. Now let's dive into this. Well, you don't have to take a quarterback this year because you can just get a quarterback next year. Like, oh, all these teams want quarterbacks. They're suckers because you can just get a quarterback anytime you want to get a quarterback. And he has three examples. Look at these teams. They just got a quarterback when they're ready for a quarterback. All right, let's take this on. The Lions. The Lions got Jared Goff, and they, you know, they're doing great now. The Rams. The Rams got Matt Stafford, and they won a Super Bowl. All right, we can lump those together because they traded Jared Goff for Matt Stafford because they both had good quarterbacks already. They didn't start at zero. They started with top draft pick quarterbacks and exchanged them, and both those quarterbacks continued being really good. So this doesn't apply to the Commanders at all because they don't have a good quarterback to trade with somebody to get this mythical good quarterback that you're just going to acquire in a trade. It turns out if teams give up a good quarterback, they might want a good quarterback in exchange, and you don't have one if you've traded the number two draft pick. You could get lucky. You could get lucky on Bo Nix. You could get lucky on Michael Penix and use that to trade. I don't think it's likely. But you need a quarterback to get a quarterback. The third example, the Buccaneers. They just got Tom Brady. They were awesome. If you get a Tom Brady, if you get one of these guys, an Aaron Rodgers, you don't just plug them in. They get power. They get to say what goes on, right? You think Adam Peters is fired up about that? You think Adam Peters is sitting there like, you know what I'd like? I'd like to get a 38-year-old quarterback who comes in here and tells me to overhaul the whole roster and forget about the salary cap because he'll be gone in 3 years and it won't matter to him and I'll be sitting here with a ruined team. No, that's not how this works at all, right? You're bringing up Dak Prescott. Like, Dak Prescott's just going to magically drop by and be like, I'll accept all your decisions, Adam Peters. Whatever you want to do, that's best. And that's not the way it is at all. They need to take a quarterback at number two so that they can do all the other things, so that they can build a roster, so that they can have a chance at competing down the line. Look at this Stephon Diggs trade in Buffalo this week, right? Because everybody agrees Buffalo got fleeced on this trade, and I agree with that as well. Buffalo didn't lose any part of its ability to contend. Why? Because they kept Josh Allen. In a choice between a star receiver and a star quarterback, they chose the quarterback, which you'll always do. Patrick Mahomes is just seeing dudes come and go. Tyreek Hill's gone. All the window stays open because the quarterback keeps the window open. The Chargers have botched literally everything about their franchise for the last 5 years. The window's still wide open. Why? Because Justin Herbert's their quarterback. The quarterback keeps the window open. I'm not saying you'll hit it, number two. You might miss. I'm just saying you got to try because the downside is a long, painful slog of trying to find Dak Prescott's and Brock Purdy's or find guys who will come. And I don't think you want to be playing that game. All right, we'll crosstalk with Awad in a minute. We got one more segment. We'll send it over to River City Roll. He'll be live down there from 12 to 3. Grant and Danny will drive you home. We'll take a weekend. Flying Squirrels Baseball starts tonight. You'll hear them all season right here on The Fan. 6:35 opener tonight. If you're a UVA baseball fan, Zach Messenger taking the hill for the Somerset Patriots tonight up in New Jersey. Earthquake damage pending. I say tongue-in-cheek because it was a 4.8. I laugh at those weak New Jerseyans trying to make a scene out of their 4.8 earthquake. That's this show's official stance. We're not backing down on that. I'm flexible on a lot of things. I don't want to hear another word about this earthquake. I'm getting tired every time I have to hear about it for the rest of this week. We're back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. 10:47, Friday morning, Friday Fun Show. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Always appreciate you guys hanging out with us, whether you're live on the Odyssey app or on the podcast, MP on the mic on all major podcast platforms. We do not take it for granted even a little tiny bit that you are choosing to spend your Friday with us. Now, Hazel heard the Masters music for the first time during the Junkies. We won't talk golf until next week. We'll get to golf next week because you have to when it's Masters week. What you don't know, Hazel, is there was a huge controversy about the music about 10 years ago. They put the, you know, it's the golf course, it's Augusta, it's, you know, they have birds chirping and all those things. Mm-hmm. Well, somebody was watching CBS and said, like a bird watcher, like a, you know, not a professional, but like, you know, a hobbyist.
Yeah.
And I recognize that bird, and that bird's not native to Georgia and isn't in Georgia at this time of year, and called CBS. They were piping in fake bird sounds into the Masters music to make it extra majestic, and they got busted.
Wow. That's why you shouldn't lie to people.
Yeah, well, it just starts as an innocent little lie, and the next thing you know, a bird watcher is like, nope.
They got to take a page from Honest Abe.
You can't get away with anything these days. Yeah, no chance. You try photoshopping your family picture? Nope. Can't do it.
The whole world has a problem with that.
The whole world's got a problem with it. Next thing you know. All right. This is the first time we're going to do this. So this is exciting. The first time of many times we will do this because every day on this program, we need to update you with what's going on with your local nine, the Richmond Flying Squirrels. Oh, that hits pretty hard right there. Let's go. All right, that gets me fired up. Flying Squirrels have sold out their home opener on Tuesday. So you can't go next Tuesday, but you can go anytime after that to watch Flying Squirrels baseball at the Diamond. Opening night tonight in Somerset. They're up in New Jersey. They're taking on the Somerset Patriots. We've got ourselves an ACC matchup on the hill tonight. Squirrels will be throwing John Michael Bertrand. He went to Notre Dame. And the Somerset Patriots will have Zach Messenger on the hill, a Wahoo. He went to UVA. Prior to UVA there on the hill. Looking to bounce back. Last year was single A in Tampa, 1-11. All the records don't mean anything in minor league baseball. He made it from single A to double A. He'll take the hill for the Somerset Patriots. Opening night for them, John Michael Bertrand throwing for the Squirrels. He got promoted to Richmond at the end of last year. Went 2-3 in his time here in Richmond. Tomorrow night, Carson Ragsdale takes the mound for the Squirrels. And on Sunday, Ryan Murphy before they bus back down the Jersey Turnpike and get here to what will be a sold-out crowd. A great night of baseball. Hayden Birdsong on the mound Tuesday. Next time we give you, well, I guess Monday we'll have a Flying Squirrels update because they'll play over the weekend. We'll have to tell you how they did. Then Tuesday we'll be at the Diamond for opening night. So very much looking forward to that. All right, women's basketball tonight, which is, look, everybody's looking forward to this. Paige Buckets, Paige Beckers for UConn, who was the LeBron of high school women, high school girls basketball, went to UConn, tore her ACL, climbed all the way back. Caitlin Clark, I don't have to tell you who Caitlin Clark is. She's everywhere. She's awesome. They will go head-to-head tonight, spot in the finals on the line, presumably against South Carolina. Look, I'm not giving NC State a chance here, but it's a sporting event. They might win. That's how these things work. But the storyline, of course, is it's Caitlin Clark. It's Paige Beckers. They're going head-to-head. Nobody wants any part of that. Here's Caitlin Clark as well as the two coaches involved.
It's not Paige versus Caitlin, and it takes the entire team to win a basketball game, and both of us are going to do everything we can.
It won't be, if I score more points than Caitlin, Connecticut's going to win. It won't be that at all, and it won't be, I have to match everything that she does. Paige's personality is such that she'd rather score 10 points and us win than get 50 and us lose.
I do not want this to be a game that's promoted as Caitlin versus Paige, and I know it already has been, but I don't want that. I want it to be Iowa versus UConn and let these two women do what they do best.
All right, that was Caitlin Clark, Gino Auriemma, and Lisa Bluter, the Iowa coach. We need to get Lisa some lozenges or something before the game here. Lisa's not going to make it to tip off at this pace. Somebody needs to look out for Lisa here. We're struggling. That's all right. She's got Caitlin Clark, so she'll be all right. Tip off tonight, 9:30, estimated 9:30 tonight in Cleveland, the women's Final Four tonight. And look, they can do that. They could do that as much as they want. Hey, this isn't Paige. This isn't Caitlin. These are the stars. This is what the game's built around here. These are the top players in the game. People want to watch them play. And certainly they go as their team goes, for sure. These are the star players that people want to tune in and see. And I know the other night, right, the LSU-Iowa game, you couldn't help but be captivated by Caitlin Clark. There was a lot of talent on that court, but only one of them was making shots like she's making. So you can hate all you want to hate, but she comes to play when it matters, and she's got Iowa one game away from a return trip to the national title, and UConn in the way. What a remarkable story that's been. UConn, essentially six players now on that team, three freshmen after all the injuries they've been through this year. They're still rolling. This is a matchup a lot of people have been looking forward to, none more so than Caitlin Clark, who was not recruited by Gino Auriemma and UConn out of school. And if you think it's not personal, it's probably a little bit personal for her tonight. So we'll keep an eye on that title game Sunday afternoon. So next time we talk to you, that will be in the bag. Men's Final Four tomorrow night as well. NC State, Purdue, and Alabama, UConn. All right, Women's Final Four and Men's Final Four. I've got the rule, right? If there's something you want to see, you're probably not going to get to see it. And in this case, we're dealing with a dud men's Final Four tomorrow in a lot of ways so that we can get Purdue UConn in the title game. My rule says that means it's not going to happen. That means somebody's going to lose. And by the way, it's not going to be UConn. UConn's not going to lose. They're not capable of losing at this juncture. It sure feels like. And I know Alabama's playing well, and they've got, you know, we talked earlier this week, they got the sign-stealing crew, and they got the analytics, and they got all the things. UConn's just pulverizing people. Would not surprise me at all if UConn rolls again tomorrow night in the Final Four. That leaves NC State and Purdue. And this is traditionally when you see the Cinderella teams trip up a little bit. They get the whole week off. It kind of all comes crashing back down to reality. It's tough to sustain that play. Purdue's very good, obviously. But you've got a good matchup there. Zach Edey. He could be controlled by DJ Burns. Question for me is, how many minutes is DJ Burns going to be able to play? Is he going to be able to go 40 minutes toe-to-toe with Zach Edey? I think Zach Edey can go the 40. I think he'll play the distance. Can DJ Burns do that? Can he stay out of foul trouble? That's always an issue for teams playing Purdue as well. I don't know if I like NC State to win this one, but I sure like them with the 9 points in this one, because I think they can keep this close. Now, Burns could get two fouls in the first 2 minutes, and this could be a total non-contest as well. I'm not ruling that out. I'm just saying I think it could happen.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.